We're growing so fast. Whatever job you can get yourself prepared for, you can have. We had one guy go from, so he came, it's funny. He started working at Quest as a front for his drug money, which he admitted to me later. And he said, you know, it just ended up being such a great opportunity and you seem to care so much about me that I decided that I was going to go straight. And he just learned and learned and learned and ended up going from minimum wage line worker to making over $100,000 in like, it's like 9 months or something. I mean, it's just ridiculously fast because he just kept being the right person for the job and just getting promoted, promoted, promoted. And at the same time, that same guy got in a fist fight with somebody who said, you've changed because you're reading. And I thought, wait a second. That guy is so mad about somebody wanting something and striving for it that instead of being inspired and going, okay, I want that pressure. I want to turn into a diamond. He got so angry. It was such a challenge to his identity that he threw punches at this guy who was one of his best friends.
Wow.
I made him tell me that story like 8 times because I was like, wait, what? I'm like, you actually got into a physical altercation. Yes, Tom. He threw a punch at you. Yes, Tom. I was like, what the fuck world do you, I was like, that is absurd. Like, you've got to get away from people like that. And that was really when I realized, and let's see how angry I can make people, but I believe this with all sincerity. I have dedicated my life to this problem. So people need to think about that before they get too pissed. Poverty is not a money problem. It's a mindset problem. People stop themselves before they begin. Yeah. They don't think, oh, I can go get better at this thing, but I'm going to have to want it.
Yeah. You know, it's fascinating. When we lived in what I'll call the, you know, it was the hood in DC, basically. What I found fascinating is Chris had just come back from the Middle East. So he was at war during that, which means you have hypervigilance. So, you know, he's very aware of his surroundings, wound super, super tight at all times. We made friends with our neighborhood drug dealer.
As you do.
As one does. And what was interesting is I understood something then that I had never understood before, which is that the stress level of living at the poverty level or even being surrounded by it. We weren't at a poverty level. I was actually doing really well. We just happened to buy a house in a place that we didn't really think about that much. Mm. And it was one of our second homes. So we were like, oh, this is a cool street that was actually surrounded in DC by not cool streets. And what was fascinating to me is I felt this stress, basically. I felt the stress of what it must feel like to live in that every single day. And there's a young woman who lived across the street from us. Most of the families around us had like 4 generations living in one, you know, townhouse. And so she would come over when she found out that we went to college because she thought that was really cool and that we had been on an airplane, which was crazy. And so we would talk to her about, you know, what could she go to college? Couldn't we apply for some grants like, you know, Howard University? You know, they have an amazing grant program. And anything, anyway, one thing I thought was fascinating is she, to your point, hid it from her family. So she had like cousins and brothers.
That she wanted to go to college?
Yeah, and that she was talking to us. So we would talk to her when her family wasn't around. But when her family was around, she'd just kind of look at us down the street because they would all look at us. And so like the lines were never to be crossed. And so I do think there is a real thing about crabs in the bucket. And, you know, my realization was different, not so dramatic, but I realized, listen, the people who love you now, your family, they love you as you are. They don't love the new you that you're going to be. It's just scary for them. They think they're going to lose you. They think you'll think you're better than them. They think you might realize that their failures, all their projections and insecurities come out. So that's what we would talk to her about. We'd be like, listen, you know, this is something you probably can't change in your family. You probably can't explain it away to them. And the only thing you can do is you can live your life in actions that show them that it's possible and that you won't leave them behind. And hopefully if you do that, they'll come along with you. But if they won't, then you will have to leave them behind. But I had never felt before the stress and pressure to conform and the stress and pressure to also not engage with people that were bettering themselves. And I'll never forget that. Because like in the Hispanic community that I was in, That wasn't a thing, really. It was, we don't want you to move away. Like, could we stay close as a family? And that is a limiting factor in some ways. But it wasn't, don't become something else entirely.
Thank God.
Yeah. So that's something that I at least didn't have to shoulder as a burden.
Mm.
But that is everywhere.
Yeah.